With as many people as we have, I'm going to mute everyone because things happen in the background and it gets distracting. And okay, give me 1 second. Not quite sure how to do that. I need to apologize, Robin. I don't know how to give you that permission because I don't have an option to do that.
What's your ability?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, you will be doing the audio, so hopefully that will suffice. Okay, I'm going to mute everyone for now. We're going to get our meeting going. And thank you very much for being here.
Are you going to be on this?
I have to be.
Okay. So I'm going to unmute Village Board. Staff. Okay, let's see if this works. Good evening, everyone. We welcome to our Village Board meeting for Tuesday, March 16th, one day before St. Patrick's Day. We will call our meeting to order. Roll call. Trustee Green.
Here.
Trustee Atwood.
Here.
Trustee Genrich, here. Trustee Dart.
Here.
Trustee Harris.
Here.
Trustee Sampson here. He sent a correspondence saying he might be late or unable to attend. And President Rafter is here. Okay, do I have a motion to modify or adopt the agenda? Trustee Dart.
Clarence called me earlier and asked if we could postpone number 14 again. Do we do that when we get to 14, or can we?
We would have to do that now.
Can we do that? He has been sick and he hasn't finished what he wanted to present to the board.
Okay. Is this resolution of time sensitivity?
No, not really.
Okay, we'll put it off. We'll put it off one more time to the
next. That's what he asks. Thank you.
Okay, that is agenda item number
14, I believe.
Okay, any other modifications? Okay, do I have a motion to adapt the amended agenda? Trustee Genrich, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve the amended agenda and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Announcements. April 6th is an important day in Alloway. It is our spring election. And you need to request by 5 p.m. on April 1st if you want an absentee ballot. You can get that from the clerk's office. We have the elections we are voting for, our state superintendent of public instruction, several judicial appointments, three village trustee positions, our municipal judge positions, and school district board members. So, Alloway normally does a great job of getting the vote out, so I encourage you and all of your neighbors and everyone to get out and do just that on April 6th. Brad or Chris, do you want to take number 3B?
Sure.
After 33 and a half years, Mr. Jerry Watzka with the Parks Department will be retiring next month. His last day, his plan is April 15th. So we welcome, or we wish him well, and we will also bring a resolution at the next meeting, the second meeting in April, I should say, for his retirement. So,
thank you. I saw Jared the other day and told him his retirement was denied. He's done a great job. And for those of you in the audience, we have many employees in the village who have been here a very long time, so we're blessed to have such a dedicated staff and people who like working here. So thank you for that, Chris. Who wants to take 3C?
I can do that one as well. I just wanted to let everyone know that Saturday, May 1st, will be the 2021 Foxwort Wolf Watershed Cleanup. That takes place from 9 a.m. to 12 noon. Two locations in Alloway that the group will be meeting, one Green Isle Park, and the other one is at Kiwanis and Wheezy Park. They'll be cleaning up along the East River. For more information and to register, individuals can go to their website, which is www.fwwa.org.
Thank you, sir. Welcome, Trustee Sampson.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late, but happy to be here.
It's quite all right. Thanks for joining us. Okay. Any other announcements? From staff, any other announcements from my fellow trustees? Hearing none, we will move on to item number 4, public comment. As we said in the Alloway, the agenda, any person wanting to provide input on any agenda item or other topic may provide those comments via email, and that those comments would be read into the record during the public comments section of the agenda. We have received 17 or emails from 17 households, I believe. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So we have actually received 17 emails from, I think, 14 or 15 households who have requested that their emails be read into the record. And almost all of the way we're going to handle this is almost all of the emails are saying basically the same thing. And so what I'm going to do is hit the highlights. I'm going to name all the people who sent the emails, and we are going to attach all of those emails to the minutes of the meeting, so it becomes an official, all of those emails become an official part of the record. And those minutes will be displayed on the village website. Okay? So, and first of all, I hope I've responded to everyone who I've received an email from, but I thank you all very much. That's how government works. It's always, it may be a little strange, but nothing moves fast in government, and we can't do our job very effectively without hearing from residents. And so I thank you very much for being here. I thank you very much for sharing your concerns and your thoughts. And if any of you or any of your neighbors have not signed up for the village email list, I beg of you to do so, because that is a primary way in which we communicate with our residents. And you can go onto the village website, and there's an option to sign up for the newsletter or the Alloway News. If you can't find that and you need help, please call Village Hall, and they'll be happy to take down your email and make sure that you're notified of anything that's going on in the village. Okay, some of the comments that we received, some people are concerned about the narrowing of the boulevard and the removal of trees along the boulevard. People are concerned about the decreased property values that is regarding the sidewalk primarily. Decreased property values that a sidewalk presents. The lack of integrity among the board for not or for trying to push things through quickly. Doing things on short notice. Some people are concerned about the narrowing of streets and the safety with safety concerns that go along with the narrowing of the streets. People are concerned about the removal of trees, and I will agree, most of our streets in Alloway are beautiful, and we don't like to lose any, and we are going to be losing a bunch to Emerald Dashboard this year. We don't like to lose any. Several people mentioned that they bought their home because there were no sidewalks on Roselawn. Some people are concerned about the increased traffic, both auto traffic and pedestrian traffic, by installing sidewalks. Some people believe that it'll affect the homeowners, or they question whether or not it will affect the homeowners' insurance policies because of a sidewalk. Some folks are concerned that they will now be responsible for snow removal on those sidewalks. Loss of privacy was mentioned in several emails. Strip the neighborhood of the charm was a concern because of sidewalks. Some folks believe that using funds for a sidewalk that no one wants is a poor use of those funds, and we should allocate those dollars to other things. Several people said that the sidewalks should be on Briar Lane. And I live on Briar Lane, and I would agree. I'd be happy to have one there. Some people brought up the point that we have a state crossing on Riverside Drive, and people walking down Roselawn don't use that. They won't walk a block to get on, and so by having a sidewalk along Roselawn, it will increase the number of people who are crossing Riverside in an unsafe manner. There will be more people. It will make more people cross in a dangerous way. They will lose parking along their driveways because of a sidewalk. Some folks say Roselawn is a quiet street. It's a safe street. Motorists know to watch for pedestrians, and there have never been, to the best of their knowledge, any accidents between vehicles and pedestrians. A couple of people said Roselawn is already overused as a pass-through for vehicles, and this would only increase it. One person believed it was a complete waste of time and suggested we stop hiding behind virtual meetings to not bring people's voices out. Someone asked, why not do the whole street at one time? And that's simply a money issue, but thank you for bringing that up. And then some people thought people should use the Abbey, the walkway through the Abbey, instead of a sidewalk on Roselawn. If I didn't capture, I believe that captured most of the sentiment. One person mentioned that the village board or people on Roselawn appreciate their properties and care for their properties as much as the village board does, and that they'll find out at election time. So those are basically the comments we've heard. If I missed anything, I apologize, but I think the sentiment from those emails was that people, those 17 or 15 households, are not interested in a sidewalk. We've received other emails that we talked about last week where they did not ask to be read into the record, so they are not, but they are part of the public record, and we'll talk about them when we talk about them at an upcoming village board meeting. The folks who sent emails were Diane Reich, and if I mispronounce your name, I truly apologize. Diane Reich, Randy Reich, Lois Ulmer, Carol Jean Temp, Margaret Allen, Mary Jo and Brooks Austin, Catherine Burdick, Marilyn Gardner, Jason Geese, David and Karen Hansen, Paul and Pamela Heiser, Josh Kennedy, Rosemary Kennedy, Jackie Lopez, Steve Lopez, Lewis and Marilyn Merck, and Robin Nelson. Mike. Okay, so those were those announcements. Are there, and I'll try and see as best I can, if there is someone else who wants to speak on some other issue, can you raise your hand? Okay, I've asked you to unmute. Do you have the ability to unmute? There you go. Could you give us your name and address, please?
Megan Anderson, 203 West Mission Road.
Thank you, Megan.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Pete Angelolo, spelled A-N-G-I-L-E-L-L-O, and my address is 146 East Mission Road.
Thank you. What can we do for you folks?
Thanks for having us.
Sure.
So like I said, I'm Megan Anderson. I have lived in the village for roughly 17 years. Pete, roughly 31 years in the village. So combined, just the two of us, about 50 years. I am also joined by a few fellow neighbors and friends as well that maybe you'll hear from them later. But we're here today because we are proposing additional pedestrian crosswalks in Alloway, looking at Webster Avenue as well as Riverside Drive. On Webster Avenue, we're looking at between Iroquois and Alloway Avenue. And on Riverside, we're proposing between Lazar and Alloway Avenue as well. We started a petition about a week and a half ago to get some voices in the village, and we've roughly received around 60 signatures already to date. With also speaking, you know, their voice that this is needed in our village. We feel it's really important to make our village a more pedestrian-friendly area, especially with the two schools of Webster School and St. Matt's. But in addition, our opportunity to access the trail and to access restaurants and work and anything else that may be coming up in the near future on the trail. And that's, I think, what we're asking. I don't know. I like I said, I have a few fellow neighbors and friends on the call as well. Not sure if they want to voice anything or Pete, you want to share anything?
Yeah, basically we're just hoping to maybe work with someone in the village to see if we could determine some affordable solutions for some safer crossings for pedestrians and bikers. You know, both in, you know, there are particular areas where you can cross, like on Alloway Avenue on Mission, but also on Riverside. You know, I've seen so many close calls of people. This summer I saw a young mom pushing a stroller and with the dog, and you know, she just bolted out at a good clip and could have easily have gotten hit. And you know, there's just very, very few places where people can kind of cross safely in between those areas, which appear to be pretty highly trafficked areas. So we're just trying to see if there's someone that could help take a look at what might be available. Nothing quite as elaborate as maybe the Hawk one that's down on Riverside, but maybe just some other kinds of crossings similar to the ones that are in DePere, to at least to notify motorists to slow down.
Well, first of all, thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing it up. I don't think you would find anyone disagreeing with you at all. Our bike and ped plan that we did called for multiple crossings. We've talked to the state multiple times about that along Riverside. But if you folks and your friends want to help, thank you. And I would encourage you to, I know you've communicated with Trevor.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend, we can talk to Brad and Trevor, and if we can figure out a way for you to help, that would be great. and if anything needs to come to the board, we'd be more than happy to entertain it. But we're all singing from the same songbook on that one.
Okay.
Trevor and Brad, does that make sense? Or would you like some guidance from the board?
No, I think it's definitely worth having an additional discussion, especially with those that are interested. And if they do have a petition that they want to submit, either get it to Carrie Zitlow, email it to Trevor. Either way will work. And it can be entertained or entered into the record at like the April 20th meeting. But in the meantime, we can try to set up a meeting with the group and bring the state or the state DOT involved. Try to get some answers.
And we have sent our petition to Carrie yesterday and our message, so she received a copy of that.
Oh, great.
And I also just want to, like I had mentioned, we've got a few fellow neighbors on the line, and I know if they have something to share or want to say, I would love for them to have that opportunity.
Yeah, I would recommend if there's something new to say.
Okay.
So I'm going to do my best here. So, does anyone want to join? I have a question. Are you able to share more about what holds this proposal up at the state level? The Department of Transportation, they own Riverside Drive. It's a state highway, and they have their regulations, and they limit the number of crossings because of that. But we have had, I'll tell you honestly, we've had some great conversations with the DOT. Back when we were looking into resurfacing or reconstructing that whole process or that whole roadway, and the Department of Transportation staff, they really worked with us, and I think they're a great group of folks who really care and listen. So that's why that's the holdup. And Webster is a county road, and so we need to work with the county on that. But we've also had meetings with the county, and they're very open to trying to figure out how do we keep traffic going and how do we keep pedestrians safe. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. Okay.
Well, thank you for your time. We will follow up with Trevor and Brad.
Sounds great. Pete, Megan, and the other neighbors, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I do want to make sure everyone, if I missed anything on the whole sidewalk thing, is there something that I didn't mention from someone interested in the sidewalk discussion that would like to add something to the list that I missed? I am there as the meeting admin, so I'll give you a couple of seconds. If there's something new that you want, can you chat? Okay. I have it as Diane Reich, but I don't think you're Diane. Hold on one second. I asked you to unmute. Can you unmute? There you go.
One of my concerns. I'm Randy.
Can you give us your name and address, please?
Randy Rich at 260 Roselawn.
Thank you, Randy.
I have a couple things. You know, sidewalks do go in, but when we heard how much space they were taking, like 6 foot apron, and then a 5 foot sidewalk, I was shocked. In a street like ours, I know that you guys changed the rules on sidewalks at some point to be 5 foot minimum. I could see along Webster or Riverside, a 5 foot sidewalk would be great. It's there, it's like, what, a three and a half foot and right up to the curb. So probably what's bothering us is losing so much land that we can't park two cars, one behind the other anymore. It seems like if we would have been notified, most of us were not notified this was even going on, we would have liked to have been involved with some of these conversations of why we would take over 11 feet from people's yards for a huge sidewalk. That's one thing that really just caught our eye. Okay. It's putting the people, right up beside our house walking down the sidewalk. And I've worked as a maintenance manager for many years, and sidewalks were our biggest headache. One was at Appleton Papers with, in the spring, this time of year, when the snow's melting during the day, it freezes at night. I had to hire people to come in at 4 in the morning and salt the sidewalks. So some of the elderly people didn't walk down our frozen sidewalks at 6 in the morning and fall and end up with concussions and things like that, which we had in lawsuits. So we're concerned about the design to start with. And then my second concern is, I'm guessing that was done to leave the fire hydrants where they are. You needed that 6 feet apron to leave them in. And so I'm kind of, would like to know is why we picked the north side of the street where the fire hydrants are there. Okay. If we have to go with sidewalks, I think there's a lot we could do. And unfortunately, by the time we found out what was going on, you guys have already spent the money with engineering firms laying it all out and not giving anybody an opportunity to give you their 2 cents, or very few people. So there's a lot of things that really irritate people the way this whole thing went. It's almost like you tried to sneak something in. And even when you made a comment that, well, it's just paving the road, we don't need to really even have a meeting about it. And then I also heard that it was a clerical error, that they didn't notify the people on our end of the street. So I've heard a couple of reasons why we weren't notified.
Thank you. We will be talking about this. We can't debate it tonight, but I did want to give people a chance. So, Randy, I thank you for that. I hadn't heard that one before about the width of the apron, so thank you. Is there anyone else who I missed comment from? Margaret. Hold on. Let me try and unmute you.
I'm good.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm Margaret Allen. I live at 480 Roselawn. And I've sent a few correspondences to the village board members. We're new to the area. We'll be here 3 years in June.
Welcome.
And thank you. And I don't know, maybe things are done differently here, but in my old place of residence, when you email a city council person or a county board member, they usually returned. So I know that I took the board president to task. I'm like, I have concerns, and I would like to discuss them. One of the biggest reasons why my husband and I bought the house we bought at 480 was because of the street appeal. It was such a lovely place. It was a beautiful street. Yeah. And having come from a city where we just had to absorb the cost of getting our own sidewalks in our former residence, mud-jacked and sections replaced, not having the sidewalks was a huge draw. And I just don't see the installation of sidewalks as being especially cost-effective for residents. And I know a lot of people have mentioned this probably in the emails. I know you just did a brief overview of them. But, you know, we have the boulevards to walk down. They're beautiful. I know there's been some discussion about safety. Something that would make our street safe isn't sidewalks. It's just resurfacing the street itself. I assume that's a much more costly job than sidewalking one half of the street, one half of the way up. But in terms of, you know, what really would enhance the neighborhood, there are just things that are more important than half a sidewalk. And that's, I mean, basically my take on this. And I would just be so terribly disappointed if this plan were to go through, because as I said, you know, when we bought, we loved the look of the street. We loved everything about it. And it really would take away from that. It really would diminish our enjoyment of our property. And as residents and as taxpayers, I really believe that our feelings about this need to be weighed very heavily in the discussion.
Okay. Thank you, Margaret.
Thank you.
Robin Nelson has something to say that hasn't been said, so let me find you on the board.
Got myself unmuted.
There you go.
All right. Hi, how are you? I'm Robin. I'm Robin Nelson from 260 Roselawn. One of the things that I don't think that I heard you touch on was just the cost that homeowners are going to have to basically eat if this project is completed, things that they've already invested in for their lawns. If you come down our street, you can see our street is gorgeous. It's very unique compared to a lot of the other streets in Alloway. And there's a lot of really, really nice landscaping done as well. So I know there's people in our street that have underground systems that were put in place for robot lawnmowers to go around their lawn. There is the same systems for dog fencing underground, for sprinkler systems. There are people that have light posts that appear to be pretty close to where the sidewalk's going to go and likely would have to be removed and moved to a different area and rewired. Trees that, even if they are allowed to stay in the project, there's a high likelihood of their roots being damaged just because of where the rain line is, based on where the branches extend out to. And so within a few years, those trees could die, and then the homeowners are paying to have those removed and losing the cost savings that they're receiving from those trees for their utility bill both in the winter and in the summer. So there's a lot of different expenses. Also, brick pavers is another one that people have brought up, that these beautiful brick paved driveways, they're going to have to pay to have all that professionally uninstalled in those areas and then reinstalled around the sidewalks. Mailboxes that have also been installed by the street are going to have to be removed and reinstalled. So there's a lot of expenses that are going to be placed on the residents of the street that just, it doesn't seem fair, and it's taking away, I mean, the landscaping alone, people have spent a lot of money, and it helps our property value. And with that being destroyed and then having to reinvest, it just doesn't seem fair, and it seems like something that should have been discussed with us well in advance.
Okay. Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. We will... Jason is either waving at me or he wants to talk, so let's see. Jason, I just asked you to, you should be unmuted.
Yes, thank you.
Hi, Jason.
These are 220 Roselawn. I'll reiterate and compliment on Robin's sentiment that the reason we purchased our home was because of the boulevard.
Yep.
Historic neighborhood and the way we like the street with no sidewalks. Adding sidewalks is going to provide no benefit to our immediate neighborhood whatsoever. We all live very harmoniously together. I think they would invite non-neighbor traffic into our neighborhood, which we don't want. You know, like our privacy. In fact, we may file a petition to make it a gated neighborhood to pollute us even more. The added expense. Homeowners insurance are going to have to be contacted, re-underwriting. You know, we have the fire extinguisher in our yard. Addition of sidewalk increases liability exposure and increased homeowners insurance costs. Due to that, I've already talked to my insurance company, and they've made me aware that relocating the fire extinguisher and adding sidewalks is more exposure. I'm not in favor of losing my parking abilities. You know, I have multiple cars. Just like everybody else, we bought our homes, invested $20,000 in front landscaping, and I would hate for that to be destroyed. And I've talked to my co-owners that if the sidewalks were to pass, we're going to immediately list the house for sale and relocate out to Hobart. And there's a few other neighbors that have expressed the same views that we would place our homes up for sale, which would diminish the entire real estate values of the surrounding homes just because of the flood in the marketability. So, I mean, that's where I'm at. Sent an email, so I'll end my speech short. But we're in no favor of the street narrowing or the sidewalks. To narrow the streets would pose a significant danger, especially during boating season. There will be impassable roads. Moving trucks would not be able to get through. The plows, they're going to run into cars if they're parked on the road. So, we're going to have to restructure our parking horizontally on the driveways to gain more parking or make other alternatives. But I don't see that project working. The street repaving is long overdue. We're unable to maintain the product that we have. I don't think we need to spend money on adding more stuff that's not going to be maintained. So I'll object fully to the whole plan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jason.
You're welcome.
Okay. We will move on. But thank you all once again. We will be talking about this issue once the bids are open and once at a future, I think the next village board meeting. Right, Brad? I lost Brad. Oh, there he is. Yes, it'll be on April 6th. Okay. Okay. Moving on. Number five, public hearing. We will open the public hearing to consider design exception request for building design from GB Real Estate for parcel AL-1420, located at 917 Derby Lane. Mr. Lang or Mr. Fuller, who wants to take this? Oh, I'm sorry. It's a public hearing. Is there anyone who wants to speak on this item, the public hearing? I'll ask a second time. Does anyone want to speak on the public hearing regarding the building? Building design from GB Real Estate for parcel AL-1422, located at 917 Derby. And I will ask a third time. Okay, I don't have any requests. So we will close the public hearing. We'll move on to item number six. Action regarding public hearing, design exception request for building design from GB Real Estate for parcel AL-1420, located at 917 Derby Lane. Matthew, you want to take yourself off mute? Chris, you want to take yourself off mute? Penny? One's off mute? Okay. Do I have a motion on this item?
Move to approve.
Trustee Sampson. Do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Harris. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve the design exception request for building design from GB Real Estate for parcel AO1420, located at 917 Derby Lane, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We're very much looking forward to some nice buildings coming up. Thanks, Garrett. Public hearing. We will open the public hearing number seven to consider local historic landmark designation for the monument commemorating the site of the first courthouse in Wisconsin, located at 2640 South Webster Avenue, in Heritage Hill. If folks didn't know that, but that's where the first courthouse is. Do I have a motion on, or does anyone want to speak on this in this public hearing on this item? Mr. Sickle, I'm going to ask you to unmute. Bless you.
Yes, my name is James Sickle. I live at 122 West Mission Road. Green Bay, of course, Alloway, and I'm an attorney locally in town, and when I read the notice in the paper about the designation for the Heritage Hill, I'm very much in favor of it. Obviously, as the chairman said, you have a unique situation here where Green Bay or Alloway, shanty town, as I when I walk along the trail, I even see the notice there right below the bridge about the courthouse and the site of the first courthouse in Wisconsin. Interesting, on our street, Mission Road, there's a designation of the first mission, or a very early mission, with a stone designation. I think it's right next to Megan's house. No, it isn't. It's a little north near, if you know John Flatley, his house. Anyway, Alloway has a unique site with regard to the Wisconsin's history, especially with regard to courts and laws, including the trial of Chief Oshkosh, which is a historic painting down in the Supreme Court of the state of Wisconsin. So I think this designation is something that benefits all. One other thing, there's one of the early law offices, the Baird Law Office, is located at Heritage Hill. So these designations are important because they really go nationally, and you get recognition, and then you get visitors to these sites who have an interest in the historic nature of the community. So Alloway is, uniquely, I'll call it, favored by these many firsts, and I'm here to speak in support of the designation.
Thank you very much, sir.
I would like to speak.
Who is this?
Gene Hackbarth.
I'm trying to see it, Gene. Are you on the... Oh, there you are. Thank you. Could you give us your name and address, sir?
Really? My name is Gene Hackbarth. I live at 933 Oakdale Avenue in De Pere. And I'm on the Heritage Hill Corporate Board of Directors. And Nick Backhouse, who is on the Heritage Hill staff, is also here to speak during the hearing. Okay. I just wanted to point out that at the Board of Directors meeting held recently, they unanimously supported having the Village of Alloway designate this first courthouse monument to the village's list of historic landmarks. And the village's Historic Preservation Committee recommended that it be listed as an historic landmark on February 24 of 2021. There's a lot of strong interest in retaining that monument as it relates to the first courthouse and as Mr. Sickle alluded to during his presentation. So I strongly support it.
Thank you very much, Gene. You said Nick was on the phone or somewhere?
Yes, he is.
Okay. I don't see him, so is he on the phone?
No, he's on Zoom.
He is. I don't see someone by the name of Nick. So I see phone numbers. Nick, if you're on. Oh, you can't text me if you're on the phone.
Nick is on.
He is?
Yeah, I'm showing him here.
Oh, Nick, you're right in front of me. Sorry about that. You're right next to Gene on my screen. How did I miss you? I apologize. Okay, I invite you. There you go.
Well, I think it's a part of Alloway's history as well as Wisconsin's history. It's in itself, the craftsmanship from the inmates, it has an interesting story. And the materials used, I can speak from a preservation standpoint, the materials used is the same as with the prison, the gray granite. Other than what James and Gene have already said, I support it completely.
Well, thank you. Could you give us your name and address for the record, please?
Nick Backhouse, 1365 Poirier Street, Green Bay.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak at this public hearing? I can't wait until we can send the prison over to Heritage Hill as a historic landmark. Okay. For the second time, anyone who wants to speak on this item?
for a third time? Hearing none, we will close the public hearing. Thank you all for sharing your comments. We will move on to item number 8, to take action on a local historic landmark designation for the monument commemorating the site of the first courthouse in Wisconsin located at 2640 South Webster Avenue in Heritage Hill State Park. Do I have a motion on this item? Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
This is Lynn, I'll second.
Thank you, Lynn. Any discussion?
And just for the record, and maybe I missed reading something in my packet of materials, but what's the... is there a significance to this designation? I wonder if Heritage Hill ever wants to rearrange things, or somebody says we need a road that goes near there. You couldn't move it too far, or it wouldn't be the site of the first courthouse. But is there anything beyond a symbolic gesture that would arise out of this designation? Couldn't move it, couldn't alter it, couldn't whatever. And it'd be impossible to move. But and I know it'll last forever, gray granite, but... Just curious.
Trevor, do you want to address that?
Yeah, so with the local designation, if Heritage Hill wishes to do any alterations or modifications, move it, that sort of thing, and in the future, it would need to receive a certificate of appropriateness through the Historic Preservation Committee for those works. And if they do not receive that, then they can appeal it to the Village Board. If they wanted to raise the structure at any point in time, they would be required to follow like a, I think it's a 30 or 45 day like cooling off period or stay before they could take that action. But other than that, there's really not a whole lot of other I guess stipulations that come with this designation.
Good, but thank you. And you wouldn't think that would come into play, but a lot of history has been bulldozed in the country. In this country, you know, once the people who did the original preservation passed on or moved away, so it's good to know it's protected. Thank you.
Good question. Thank you. Any other discussion? I'll just say that Heritage Hill is a jewel. To have that in Alloway is a great gift. Alloway's tagline, historically progressive. So we love our history, and we thank all of you who preserve that for us. Okay, we have a motion to approve the designation as a historic landmark for the first courthouse in Wisconsin located at 2640 South Webster in Heritage Hill. And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. We'll move on to number 9 under new business, action regarding temporary outdoor patio permit. Mr. Fuller.
Yes, so this is just a, as we received a request last year because of COVID-19 for additional temporary outdoor patio space. For restaurants and bars, this is just a permitting process that staff put together. Just to, we're not trying to make it difficult for the businesses because we still understand that we're still trying to follow social distancing measures. We just want to be sure that the spaces that are set up are take other safety factors into account, such as fire, building, and then parking, and liquor license as well. So I guess this permit process was taken from a few other communities. We kind of, as staff, we reviewed a few different application processes and took the pieces that we thought were most relevant. Without trying to make it, again, overly difficult for a business to receive one. So if it's a restaurant, they would, and they do not plan on serving alcohol in the temporary patio space, they would be able to receive this, and upon inspection by their building inspector, would be able to be approved next day by staff. But if they do need to amend their premise description as part of their liquor license, that would be something that would still have to come before the village board. So.
Even if it's a temporary adjustment? So, for example, last year, was last year a problem in any case?
As far as the liquor license goes, or as far as anything else?
As far as anything else goes. In terms of the outdoor, temporary outdoor padding.
Not really. There wasn't anything in Alloway specifically, but as we're moving into a second year, we just want to be sure that things are being considered by these businesses, such as if they want to put out a outdoor fire pit or something like that, or running electrical wires or something like that, that we're just doing so in a safe way. Again, we want them to be able to social distance safely, but we also just want to be sure that other safety precautions that have been in place are being adhered to.
Okay, so if a restaurant that serves alcohol, which is the majority of them, if they wanted a temporary outdoor patio and they don't currently have the approval to do so, they would then request and they have to come back to the board to amend their liquor license?
Carrie, do you want to jump in on that question? I believe that's correct.
Yes, they would.
But we also, as a board, we have the ability to give staff that approval or that ability to approve?
No, so this would be just for the restaurant space, and then if the liquor license needed to be amended, that would be board approval.
Okay.
So I think last year the temporary spaces were approved for the restaurants and bars by the board. Through a certain date. And so staff just went ahead and took the liberty of saying this temporary space would be good for March 15th through October 31st.
Okay. And the reason why. Do that again.
Right. Those dates can be amended. And I guess we would just recommend that this just be in place. If this is approved, it'd just be approved for this year only, and that we revisit it next year.
Okay. Any questions for Trevor? Brad?
I just wanted to also point out that this is a no fee. So what we're trying to do is consolidate or expedite the process and let the restaurants get things set up. We can approve that, and if they do need to come back to the board for the liquor license, that's something else. But at least all the steps are done up into the approval of the liquor license.
Okay. Okay, any questions for Brad or Trevor on this? Hearing none, I'll accept the motion.
Move to approve the permit.
Okay, so Matthew, Trustee Harris wants to approve, or made a motion to approve the temporary outdoor patio permit. And a second by Mr. Atwood. Any discussion? Doing what we can to help our local restaurants. I have a motion to approve the new permit and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, and thank you to all of our restaurants and bars in Alloway who have worked so hard to stay alive this last year. Item 10, request from Lorelei Inn to amend their liquor license premise description to include outside patio area. Do I have a motion on this item? Mr. Decker,
approve.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Penny Dirt, any discussion? Lorelei is a great example of people who have been working hard, taking on extra jobs to keep stay in business. They've been in business for over 60 years in the village, so I thank them very much for what they do. So we have a motion to approve approve the amended liquor license and the premise description, including the outdoor patio area, for the Lorelei, and a second. Do I have do all those in favor signify by saying aye?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 12, action regarding a request from Lorelei Inn at 1412 South Webster Avenue for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot
on September
17th, 18th, and 19th.
Did we turn past 11?
I'm sorry?
There's a raptor.
Oh, thank you. I crossed off 11 instead of 10. We'll go back. Thank you. I have a great board to work with, I'll tell you. Action regarding request from Lorelei Inn, Inc. to reduce the liquor license fee amount. The folks from the Lorelei sent us a letter thanking us for reducing their fee last year, and which we did for all the liquor establishments for Class B liquor licenses, and they have requested that we do so again. So it says, please also consider a reduction in our liquor license again this year. In 2020, as Schwabenon charged $0, City of Green Bay charged $50, Village of Alloway was $250. This fee was coming in late June, comes at a worst time of the year for us between the summer months. Reducing this fee would greatly help us. We are still not operating at all pre-pandemic hours, and people are still not going out as much as they used to. So do I have a motion? Trustee Harris.
I would propose that we delay a decision on this until, let's say, the second meeting in May, or at least the first meeting in May. We don't know how things are going to progress positively or negatively, and we'll, since the fee isn't due until July 1st, it would give us more time to make a more informed decision on if we're going to move the fee, are we moving at the right amount? We may decide to move it a certain amount today, but it makes sense come 1st of June that it should be moved a different amount.
Okay, so you are making a motion to postpone discussion on this item until the first meeting in May?
First or second, yes.
Okay.
This is Lynn. I'll second that motion.
Okay, why don't you pick a date, Matthew?
Second meeting in May, please.
Okay. Lynn, are you good with that?
I am.
Okay.
I'm optimistic.
Okay. Any discussion? Yeah, Gatrick.
A quick question. Obviously, Lorelei is the only one that has requested it, but we've got other purveyors in the village that are probably hurting just as well. So we would consider or be prepared to consider across the board fee adjustment based on what we see up to that point.
Yep, I would be open to that discussion for sure. Any other discussion? We're getting close, but it's still tough times for these folks.
Yep.
Okay, we have a motion to postpone this discussion until May 15th, or the second meeting in May, and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Now we'll move on to item 12. 12, request from the Lorelei Inn, Inc. at 1412 South Webster Avenue for a noise variance permit and to allow alcohol to be sold and served in their parking lot on September 17th, 18th, and 19th for their Oktoberfest celebration. We don't have Jason on the phone or on the line, but I haven't heard of any problems that we've had with them. So I will accept the motion on this item.
So moved.
Trustee Atwood, do I have a second?
Second.
Trustee Dirt, any discussion?
I just add that for a lot of folks that are with us tonight that maybe are not aware of it, a lot of the proceeds from that event go to local charities that the Lorelei helps support. So it's not just creating revenue for them. They do support a lot of local charities, so it's important.
Any other discussion?
It's also been an ongoing event without issue.
Yeah. Right. Any other discussion? Okay, we have a motion to approve. And the second, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes, thank you. Item number 13. Action regarding to approve the incorporation of the zoning code as part of the general code website for $7,991 using contingency funds. Mr. Fuller.
Thank you. So as you're aware, we adopted the new code, zoning code, at the end of last year, or around August of last year, and while we knew that there was some cost associated with moving that new code onto General Code's website, which is the website we use to house all our other ordinances and make it searchable and accessible for the residents, I did not anticipate it being this large of an amount. So because of the graphics and tables that are in this new zoning code, general code says there's some additional work that they need to do to make sure that those get transferred in the correct format. And so as a result, the cost is as presented. Right now, the code is still accessible to the public via PDF file. So it's still out there and able for the public to view. It's just not as easily accessible, I guess, or readable as other parts of our code. So
this effort was not included in their original bid?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions for Trevor?
Whose bid do you think it? Which bid would it have been in? When you question that, Jim, what does that mean?
Well,
the original bid of what?
When General Code started the whole project to redo our code and to put it into a searchable document.
I get it. That was before the zoning code.
Yeah.
General Code, yeah.
We knew that was going to happen, right? So I was just wondering, was that included in their bid? Because we kind of knew that effort was going to come forward.
They did indicate that there would be some additional cost with graphics, but I guess I didn't do my due diligence on that, so I didn't realize they would be close to $8,000.
Okay. So could we kick that part down the road a ways, or does it have to be all done at once?
No, I guess the alternative could be to wait until 2022 and make it part of that budget.
Well, that's just a thought.
Yep. Nope. Like I said, it's still available online. It's still available for public viewing.
I think it's important we do it at some point in time, because one of the big selling points of that code is the graphics and the ease of using it. So I think even if we postpone it, I think we still should address it in the future.
Okay, so when you say we're using contingency funds, what? It's coming out of the general fund?
Yes, it's the general fund. There's in the budget there's $15,000 for contingency items such as this.
Okay. do you foresee any other contingency items over the next 9 months?
Hopefully not. We watch that very closely and try not to utilize that fund unless necessary.
Okay. Okay, Matthew.
Part of the two-year process that we did on this was to make it more user-friendly, understandable, and accessible. The sooner we can get it to that point, the better. I would lean towards us trying to get it in this year instead of waiting another 9 months for residents or whomever needs to understand the zoning codes a little bit better.
Okay. Thank you. So I'll accept a motion on this item.
Move to approve.
Okay. Move to approve the...
Finishing of the code, or the... How is it stated here?
Okay, and using 7991 from...
Yep, from the contingency fund.
Second.
Okay, seconded by Trustee Sampson. Any discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number, we're passing on number 14 until next meeting, until a following meeting. Item number 15, action regarding 2021-2022 Brown County Tax Preparation Agreement.
We do not have to take any action on this tonight. I did receive an email from County Treasurer Paul Zeller indicating that deadline has been pushed to April 30th. And from what I understand, it's possible the resolution similar to what we had passed at the previous meeting asking Brown County to continue that service could be discussed tomorrow night at the Brown County meeting. So it's kind of at their board meeting, yes. So it's a little bit of a wait and see. So there's no need to take any action on this tonight.
Okay. Do you know if it's on their agenda or?
It doesn't specifically list it as a resolution, but they will be discussing various committees, and the administrative committee is being discussed, and this was presented to that administrative committee.
So it'll be in their report, potentially.
It should be in their report, yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you. We'll move on to number 16, action regarding vendor permit for, Twas the Night Before Christmas Craft Boutique at Green Isle Park Pavilion on November 5th, 2021, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. This is a recurring annual event, right?
Yes.
Do I have a motion on this item?
I move to approve the permit.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
This is Lynn. I'll second.
Thank you. Any discussion? There will be... What is this? Sorry, folks. I keep taking my glasses on and off. Yeah, it's the annual craft show featuring local artists and crafters. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 17, action regarding 712 Alloway Terrace brush charge. Who wants to take that?
I'll take it.
Mr. Jean.
During the week of January 11th, the street department went out and collected brush with the main purpose of picking up Christmas trees. Unfortunately, the resident at 712 Alloway Terrace had mistakenly put out a Christmas tree after we had picked up brush. The tree was tagged by Mike and removed by the street department end of January. The resident was charged $200 after receiving the bill. He had called. He had explained to me what had taken place. I guess he was unaware that we were no longer picking up Christmas trees, and he never saw the tag. He had indicated that he leaves early in the morning to go to work, and he comes back after it's dark. He never saw the tag, and he was disputing the charge. Should mention that his driveway doesn't extend to Claude Alloway Terrace, that it extends to the alleyway behind his house. He claims that he never saw the tag. We had discussed it at the Public Works Committee, and the Public Works Committee had recommended to the Village Board to split the cost with the homeowner.
And, thank you. Any questions for Sean? Okay. I will accept a motion on this item.
I would move that we approve the recommendation from Public Works.
Okay, thank you. Second, Mr. Genrich. Mr. Genrich.
Second.
We have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Do we have a discussion at first?
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Any discussion?
I would like to just make a comment. I mean, while I feel for the resident, I also think we have an obligation to our staff in supporting our staff in making these tough decisions to issue these warnings and citations as required by our code. There was ample notice and several notices posted. I don't want to be the Grinch, but I think we have to support our staff, you know, when it comes to this. Our code enforcement officer is in a tough, tough spot. You know, he's probably not getting a lot of Christmas cards every year. So to circumvent his decisions, it's kind of a tough thing to do. I would say maybe keep the fine as is. I mean, I did a little research on this. There were 47 people, I think, that received the same notice and citation, and I believe they've all paid the $200 fee to pick up. Correct me if I'm wrong.
There were 47 trees tagged. Of the 47, 40 were removed by the homeowners. And to date, five have been billed. There was one that right before they left to go on vacation, they put their tree to the curb, and it was right before we went out to pick up brush. Street department, for whatever reason, missed it when they were out. We went and spoke to this gentleman, and he was able to provide proof. He was able to provide a picture from his Ring doorbell that he had it out during the collection week, and we had since ripped up that charge. But you know, there's got to be a way for people to be able to dispute or at least provide their side of the story. I don't know that I have the authority to work with one. I bring it to the Public Works Committee to get input from them.
And I would add to that that at Public Works we had the discussion that Trustee Atwood just referred to about supporting our code officer and other staff as well, and kind of made the decision that for that reason we wouldn't waive the fee, but we were willing to work with the homeowner given the circumstances. But we wanted to make it clear to Mike, the code officer, that we weren't, you know, working around him or whatever. So.
Absolutely. It had no reflection on Mike. And that was the preponderance of the discussion at Public Works as well.
Okay. I mean, with that stated, like I said, I don't want to be the bridge here, but I think we have to support the codes that we've got in place and the individuals we have there to enforce those codes. So, while I feel for the individual, I still think there's a sense of responsibility there.
So would you want to propose a substitute motion?
No, I think the decision's already been made at the committee level in terms of splitting the fee with the individual, and I guess that's fair. I just wanted to express my concern, you know, for supporting village staff and in their decisions, and as well as I support the committee's decision on meeting the resident halfway.
Well, thank you for bringing that up. We have a great staff, and like you said, I'm guessing our code enforcement officer doesn't get many Christmas cards. But
your Christmas trees.
But he does treat people with respect, and yeah. He does a great job.
True.
But okay, so
one more.
Yes.
As long as the punishment fits the crime, you know, you boil it down, and it gets passed along in secondhand, $200 for putting a Christmas tree out on the curb. I could see $200 if somebody has a $30,000 home remodel and they put stuff out at the curb that they really shouldn't have and expect the village to pick it up, and it sits there and we go back and forth. But that was my reaction, not being privy to the previous conversations or even the history of that, that $200 is a pretty good fine. And maybe that's where it's got to be to discourage people and promote compliance. But that was my off-the-cuff reaction that, boy, that's a pretty good fine. So I would, you know, I guess I'll vote in favor of knocking it down a little bit.
Well, that's not on the table right now. Oh, you mean knocking down the...
Knocking it down by, yeah.
Okay.
And Sean, do you want to pipe in there? Because you had figured out that this $200 fee covered staff time, the calls, and sending people back out of the tree.
Yeah, that is correct. I have since revisited the charge, and it is in line with our effort. Multiple people get involved when one places bulk or brush at the curb during a non-collection week. It starts with Mike Lauder. He goes out. He does his inspection. He'll find whatever brush or bulk when it should be. Then he has to come back and check on it. His first trip out, he tags it. Second trip, he's out to make sure. He's hoping that somebody has removed it. If not, then he coordinates with the street department. We go out and remove it. Depending on the type of material, it could be an operator in a pickup truck or a front end loader in a haul truck. And then you have those up front, administrative
yep.
people up front. They get involved, and then if they dispute it, then you know myself or Trevor or Brad get involved. So it really doesn't take long. It doesn't take much to add up to $200.
Thanks, Sean. I get it. And there's a good message to even the people getting fined that we operate on a very thin margin and we've got to be efficient so we can offer great service to everybody in the village, and we have something like this. It just, we go back and forth. The hours add up, and it's not worth it. So that's why the fine is where it is. Yes, it's to discourage that, because we don't want to raise taxes to offer this kind of service to 50 late Christmas trees or 500 late Christmas trees. I get it. It sounds good to me. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other discussion on this item?
Yes, for people so inclined, we have the Christmas tree exchange program, where if you bring your own tree down to LeBrun, we actually give you a certificate to plant a tree within the village to help support our Tree City USA stance. So just know that's out there.
Thank you, Lynn. Any other Christmas tree discussion? Hearing none, we have a motion.
Wiggle lights or big lights? Tiny lights or big lights?
They're white, that's all I know.
I agree. So.
Okay, we have a motion to approve a reduction to $100 for the tree that was left at the curb at the wrong time
and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you for a great discussion, and thank you to our staff. Item number 18, engineering vehicle purchase. Mr. Jean.
With the hiring of Derek Taylor late last summer, and with the hopes of hiring a seasonal engineering inspector, we're in the need to purchase a second engineering vehicle. The vehicle would be used primarily for inspection and engineering purposes. It would carry survey equipment, stakes, tape, shovels, paint, temporary traffic controls such as smaller barricades, flags, cones. We had met internally, and we had discussed whether we purchase a van or a pickup truck, and staff had indicated that based on the usage that a full-size pickup truck with an extended cab and topper would be the best suited for our needs. Jim Sigelski, a street foreman, had called around to see who in the area offered state bid pricing. He had actually called down to Milwaukee to Ewald Automotive Group and found out that their pricing was the best. So he went ahead and got pricing on a number of trucks that included a 2021 Ram 1500 Tradesman 4x2 with 6-foot box, a 2021 Ford F-150, a two-wheel drive super cab, 6.5-foot box. And then he looked at some other vehicles, but they don't quite meet our need, don't necessarily meet our needs, actually probably exceed what we need. There was some lengthy discussion on this item at the Public Works Committee. We kind of went back and forth on whether we should buy the cheaper truck or if we should invest Ford that they have aluminum bodies and less likely to rust the same way that a Ram truck would. And we went back and forth, and in the end, the Public Works Committee had made a recommendation to move ahead with the Ford, the 2021 Ford F-150 two-wheel drive super cab, 6.5-foot box with the accessories that I don't know if I'd mentioned earlier, but a cab and a bed slide for the total cost of just under $27,000, $26,785.
Thank you. And the reason we chose the Ford is because of its aluminum box, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So to prevent against rusting. And we hold on to these things for a long time. So so that's why the Public Works Committee recommended the Ford. Any questions for Sean? Okay, do I have a motion on this item? Mr. Genrich.
Would you approve?
Oh, I'll second. Okay. Mr. Atwood with the motion, Mr. Genrich with the second. Any discussion?
I think we should... It didn't come up how it was being paid for, but there is money in the equipment replacement fund, and that's how it's being funded.
That is correct.
And just for the general public's knowledge, where we get that kind of money.
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. For the public's education, we put money away every year, like a bank account, to prevent or to save for this time, so we don't have to go out and borrow money for vehicles. Okay, we have a motion to approve and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. What color is it going to be, Sean?
I have no preference. Do you guys have a preference?
Nope. Mr. Henry.
People in red trucks.
We've got to wait 15 years to get it.
Okay, thank you very much. And Sean, number 19. Action regarding 2021 street resurfacing bid.
Sure. Bids for this year's street resurfacing project were open on February 16th. We had received two bids, one from Northeast Asphalt and one from MCC. The bid had included two parts, a base bid, and it included alternate bid items. Under the base bid, it included the resurfacing of St. Mary Street from Webster Ave, west 1,400 feet. It included Rosemont Drive from Arbor Lane to Webster Avenue, Culp Street from Webster to Libel Street, and under the base bid, it had included a part for miscellaneous street repair and patching. As mentioned, the bid included alternates, three. It included the resurfacing of McCormick Street from Clay to Irwin, Hilltop Drive from Clay to Dalhut Street, and then the completion of the alleyway work that we started behind Associated Bank off of St. Joseph Street Alley. And we had started that work last year, and we'd like to finish that this year. The base bid dollar amount is $438,173.80. That was received by Northeast Asphalt. They were the low bidder. They were also a little bitter for the alternates as well. We have the option to select one or all of the alternates, or we don't have to select any at all. We do have the funding to afford to move ahead with all three alternates for an adjusted total base bid in the amount of $575,985.10. This project is being funded primarily by the street paving account, but there are a number of other accounts that expenditures are allocated to from the public works and utility departments. We have received a recommendation from the Public Works Committee to award the project to the low bidder, Northeast Asphalt, including the three alternate bids that we had received.
Thank you. Any questions for Sean? I had a question at the Public Works meeting because we budget for $500,000 in street maintenance every year, and that's where Sean brought up that the money comes from multiple accounts, and the $500,000 is really for the asphalt piece, for laying down the road. Right, Sean?
At the asphalt curb and gutter work that we take care of the driveways in the event that, we make repair to concrete curb and gutter that is adjacent to a driveway, and if that driveway is in a condition that we can't match into, then we have a little portion of the driveway to replace as well. So the paving budget takes care of the paving, removal and placement, in some cases a defective curb and gutter, concrete driveway aprons, in some cases sidewalk. It may be associated with the street project, but just for reference purposes, within this project, we have about $50,000 to $60,000 in repairs to utilities, removal and replacement of manhole and inlet covers, adjustment in some cases to mantle covers, spot repair to storm sewer, sanitary sewer, spot repair and replacement to inlets, manholes, reconstruction of portions of manholes. So we do accomplish a lot under this contract.
Okay. And my point was that we're still sticking within the budget, right?
Yes, yep.
Okay. I'll accept the motion on this item. Mr. Harris.
I move to approve the low bid submitted by, I can't remember who, Northeast Asphalt for the base as well as alternative projects.
Mr. Genrick?
I'll second that.
You'll second? Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Matthew?
Just one comment. I think this is the second year in a row we've made, not that we didn't before, but there was an extra effort made in the last 2 years to get the projects organized and get bids out to contractors early in the process. I think we're seeing the benefit of that, and it's allowing us to get these alternate projects done, which at some point would be a base bid, but it just gets us further along and helps us with all the roads. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you.
Excellent point. Any other discussion?
Just, I had heard from some residents on Hilltop who I think are going to be quite happy to hear that their street will be resurfaced as one of the alternatives. So I'll pass that on.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion to do a lot of work this summer, and we have a motion to approve the Northeast Asphalt contract and base contract and alternates in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Thanks to you and your staff for all your hard work. Action regarding Doty S. Safe Routes to School Engineering Contract Amendment. Sean.
Sure. When we had negotiated the engineering contract with JT Engineering, we had purposely left out cost to prepare plat and TLE exhibits, temporary limited easements. And we had also included in that original engineering contract the purchase of title searches. Now that we know what we need for temporary limited easements, along with a handful of permanent limited easements, JT has presented to us an amendment to, for the most part, amend their cost to include those documents. There is a small portion of that amendment to compensate them for some additional work that we did at the intersection of LeBron and East River Drive. There was also a change to the project schedule, a slight one. I shouldn't say slight, but one that doesn't really impact the final completion date for this project, but it was a result of COVID, and we were hopeful that we could hold off. We were holding off with a public informational meeting, a traditional type, when COVID had arrived, and after some time we made a decision. We elected to use a different means to incorporate public involvement, which was through a mailer. We had also reviewed this at the Public Works Committee, and the committee had made a recommendation to approve the presented amendment.
Okay, any questions for Sean? I will accept the motion.
And one quick question, if I could please. Just all this has been reviewed by the village attorney?
if you'd like, I can send it over to them. But it's fairly standard. But I'd be more than happy to do that.
Okay. Then I would, if I could, President Rafter, if you're looking for a motion, I'd make a motion to accept the amendment pending village attorney approval.
Very good. Thank you. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Sampson. Any discussion? We have a motion to approve pending legal review. I'm sorry.
Chris Clark trying to say something.
Chris, you're on mute. Hold on. Thank you, Rob. Chris, you're still on mute.
No.
You don't have anything?
No.
So what'd you say something for?
I was speaking to a young child.
Oh. Sorry, Chris.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion to approve, pending legal review in a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Item number 21, discussion regarding code enforcement update. Who's going to give that, Brad?
Yes. So I had asked Mike to give it an update on the different projects he's been working on since the first of the year. And so he was kind enough to kind of summarize some of his work. He's handled a lot of complaints. I guess I would like to echo the comments made earlier regarding Mike Keys. He's everyone's friend until he shows up on your door. And he does do a lot of hard work for us and handles it as best he can, and I think better, as best as anyone could. But in the past 3 months, he's received several complaints regarding political signs, branches over sidewalks, downspouts, people not shoveling sidewalks, dogs, cats, other wild animals, debris on people's yards, and general things of that nature. He also enforces our storage and dumpster permit that we implemented at the end of last year. He did 17 of those already this year. He's put notices at 126 homes, and that's not including some of the recent ones regarding brush and stuff from this week. So, and that's those notices have ranged anything from Christmas trees, as mentioned earlier, political signs, unregistered vehicles, garbage bins, that sort of thing. He's issued several warning letters, and he's issued 7 citations to date. So I think his process works pretty well. He tries to work with the individuals as best he can. And then, obviously, if he's not seeing any progress or change, then he goes to issuing the citations. So... he does have 1 nuisance house already this year that he's had to create. So, again, overall, a lot of hard work by him. He is a part-time guy. And then on top of everything else, he does oversee our crossing guards as well. So, I know we did receive quite a bit of attention regarding the political signs, and so happy to speak to that if there's any specific questions. I spoke with Trustee Sampson at length regarding some of the questions he had on that, but that was something that we received a lot of complaints on in the first part of January, and Mike went out and gave a voluntary notice to the residents on that issue to have them voluntarily remove the signs, and that was in an effort to try and cool the temperature of the political climate at that time. So.
Great, thank you. Nice update. Any questions for Trevor?
Yeah, Trevor, in terms of political signs, how far from the curb or from the road are they permitted?
So they're supposed to be out of the right of way, and they have to adhere to our site triangle rules. So right of way varies street to street. I know in front of my house I have a 25-foot right of way, but I would say what's more typical is probably around a 10-foot right of way.
So you'll never run for office. Your signs won't be seen on your lawn.
Yeah, so, open your window. And how long after an election can, and before an election, can they be posted?
So what the state says is they should be out during the campaign period. So the state defines campaign period as the date of which the papers are first filed through the date of the election. And so that's what we try to share with all the residents when we went around, when Mike went around in January, was it was already a month and a half past the presidential election or the fall election. So we had asked them to voluntarily remove it, but because of different Supreme Court cases out there, or a Supreme Court case out there, we are limited as far as the action we are able to do. So that's why we went with the voluntary compliance aspect. So out of the over 40 homes that had signs up, I think we had voluntary compliance of around 37 of them. So I believe around 3 homes still have signs out, and there's really nothing much more we can do.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions or
for Trevor? I'm glad Trevor made that last point, because that adds to the argument. You know, the people of Alloway don't want signs up all the time, and 37 out of 40 kind of went with the flow and said, yeah, it's time to take it up. The couple people who insist on having a Trump or a Biden sign year-round can make the argument that it's not a political campaign thing, it's a belief system or a political philosophy, and take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and maybe they'll win. So, yeah, we don't have the big stick to tell them they can't, but that voluntary compliance is pretty impressive. I mean, the fact that 37 out of 40 or something like that agreed, yeah, we'll take them down, to me, that kind of solves the problem. So, good work all around.
And I just wanted to add one more thing, the distinction between election signs and political signs. So, a lot of things can be political, but what Mike was targeting was election-specific campaign signs. So.
Okay. Any other questions or thoughts to be shared with Mr. Fuller? Hearing none, sir, I will thank you very much for your update, and thank Mike for his hard work.
Oh, well.
Item number 22, discussion regarding 2017 Comprehensive Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan. Mr. Fuller.
So with some of the recent, or with some of the projects planned for this year, I just thought it might be a good opportunity to kind of cover the Comprehensive Bicycle and Pedestrian Plan just from a high level perspective. And then answer any questions that might be out there from the board. I did send an email summary out regarding some of the projects out there, but Really just wanted to go through quick the public process that went through, that we went through, and what was involved. And I'm happy to share my screen to bring up the plan.
Go for it.
All right. All right, can everyone see the plan?
Yes.
Okay. So this plan started, the Public Works Director at the time had received several requests from residents asking for sidewalks to be put in front of their yard. And it was kind of a hodgepodge mix of where they were going to go, and with limited village resources, we really wanted to have a clear direction of where we should plan for these sidewalks and put them in place. And so at the request of the Public Works Department at the time, it went and was discussed among the Plan Commission and Village Board, and ultimately they decided the best course of action was to form an ad hoc committee to study the issue and create a plan as to where these facilities should go. And the plan with that, previous plans, most notably our 2012 Safe Routes to School plan, but then also expanded upon that to look at other connections needed in the village and other programming that can be done outside of just physical infrastructure. So that committee met for the first time in July of 2015, and over the next 18 months put together this document, and was adopted then by the Village Board in March of 2017. The committee was made up of several community members and a lot of staff as well. And then we had a lot of input by other community organizations. And the committee members were anyone from a young single individual to an older resident to people that really weren't interested in more pedestrian issues or sidewalks or bike lanes to really hardcore bike advocates. And then I also represented a lot of different professions as well. We had an engineer or two engineers on the committee, and then someone representing the aging and disabled population. So in addition to that community representation, we also had every meeting was a public meeting. We had a survey that went out to the general population. And as you can see here, the demographics of the survey followed pretty closely with what the demographics are in the village, with the exception of the population over 75. They were underrepresented by the survey. And the committee concluded that that was likely because it was an online survey. In addition to that, we asked residents where they were located in the village, and we asked that question based off of what day of the week they get their trash picked up. And we had equal representation from all 4 days of trash pickup. So we're able to determine from that that the comments we received were at least fairly close to accurate representation of what the community as a whole is, at least to as much as we could. So as I mentioned, we had 18 months worth of public meetings. It then went to the Parks Committee, the Public Works Committee, and the Plan Commission for their final review and comment. We had a public open house, and that was fairly well attended. And then finally, it went to the Village Board for final approval. And then we looked at a lot of national data as well regarding health, economic benefits, safety, and environmental and community growth. But as I stated, one thing I wanted to bring up was, apologize. It's not all just public infrastructure. There's a lot of different initiatives and things that we looked into and supported in the plan. But we looked at where, you know, the bus stops are located to try and improve those connections for the aging and disabled. But then we also looked at different commercial concentrations within the village to provide connections between those different facilities. And then major parks and trails, trailheads in the community, and trying to identify where, how we can connect these facilities. So ultimately, it was decided that we really wanted to support the east-west connections as well as facilities on the three main kind of north-south streets in the village. And that's how we ultimately arrived at the plan that that was adopted. This map represents the existing and proposed bicycle facilities in the village. And as you can see, St. Joseph was proposed bike lane. That guy added a few years ago. Lywell Street is a proposed bike lane. I will likely get added as part of that Lywell Street reconstruct in a few years. Bike lanes, the difference between bike routes and bike lanes. Bike lanes are actual physical striping or some sort of physical on-street improvement, whereas a bike route is signage. It's just making sure the connection is there. There were things noted in here because, like for example, the traffic on East River might not warrant a bike lane. So that's something that should be looked at further. However, the width of a road, the existing road today, would definitely accommodate a bike lane. And then the other bike routes were included as just the east-west connections. And then the other big one was the existing and proposed pedestrian facilities. And as mentioned, focus was what was recommended in the 2012 Safe Routes to School Plan, which really did a heavy amount of analysis on the amount of children walking to school, the safety of it, where they're located. They did a lot of work on that, and so we didn't want to discredit the work that went into that plan. So for that reason, we adopted what was recommended in that plan and incorporated as part of this plan. We also looked at improving the east-west connections, knowing that sidewalks are not feasible for sidewalks to go on every road in the village, nor is it necessarily needed, but what we wanted to do was provide those connections and opportunities. So, for example, Hoffman, and then that east-west connection continues down St. Mary's. Project being discussed, Roselawn provides a connection to the trail both at Sunset Park. You have the crossing here, and you can cross and access through Sunset Park then, or through the Bull Punch. But then that crossing also provides the opportunity to connect and cross at St. Mary's, or from walkers on St. Mary's to cross. But it also provides a continuous connection then to the East River Trail through Longview and eventually LeBron. So there's a lot of projects that were recommended in here. Some of the initiatives in education things can be implemented in a lot shorter period of time. However, these physical infrastructure projects, the committee realized that there's a cost to it, and that nothing would happen overnight. So they agreed, at the recommendation of the Public Works, was to incorporate these projects at the time of reconstruction. And the reason being would be the cost is there's efficiency in the cost, but also it's a good way to break these projects out over time. And the committee realized that by doing that, likely a lot of these facilities wouldn't be built out for another 10 to 20 years. And so that was essentially in, I don't know, 10 minutes, a really quick and summary of the 102-page document. Happy to answer any questions.
Trevor, we have this report on the Village website, right?
Yes. It's under, if you go to our Village website, you can go to departments, or I'm sorry, about, and community plans and studies. And it will be under there as under the comprehensive bicycle and pedestrian plan.
Okay, thank you.
And Trevor, I believe that was the first one done. Just so people don't think that this was just the last 5 years, the first one was done in 07. I can't remember. It's been a long time that these have been in the works. And I'm just speaking to the fact that somehow people think these sidewalks are hidden, and they have not been. They've been out there.
Right. I think there was a lot of work done through the county planning office before I arrived. And they started in, I believe, 2002 with our comprehensive plan update, but then I know they did subsequent studies after that. There may have been one in 2007. Again, they were a part of the one done in 2012, the Safe Routes to School plan. And then again, the comprehensive plan, they aided and provided some of their expertise and knowledge in creating that 2017 plan.
Yeah. And if anyone is interested in seeing the report, they can find it on the website, they can contact Trevor, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Trevor, or what's your email?
It's real simple, trevor@villageofalloway.com.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that presentation. Any questions? Okay. We have a request from the audience to ask a question. Do I have a motion to suspend the rules? Trustee Harris, seconded by Trustee Dart. Any discussion? We have a motion to suspend the rules and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, Robin.
Hi. So I just want to ask a question regarding that map. So, and I apologize, my son is now making noise in the background. I know the 2012 Safer Routes to School plan did not identify Roselawn as any type of connection. They had St. Mary's listed as the connection both pedestrian and for bicycles. I was also informed that there was initially a different plan for 2016, and that was changed in September. I believe there is a map somewhere on the Village website that I saw that has the correction of the date on there. Another thing I want to point out is that map specifically shows people going towards like Dairy Queen or Fox Point and the St. Mary's route going in the opposite direction. It doesn't show a path going both ways. So I guess my concern is I don't feel like Roselawn is a great choice for a pedestrian plan to go that route because you're just basically leading to where there's not a sidewalk on Riverside to go in that direction. You would have to go towards the crosswalk in the opposite direction and a block and a half. And I frequent that area a lot. I take my son in the summer every single day down to the trail and try to go for a run. And I try to go to the crosswalk whenever I can just to be as safe as possible. But there are times that if I don't see traffic, I'll run across. But I watch to see what other people do every time. And just last week, there was a gentleman, and I took pictures. He had a child on his shoulders. He had two other children behind him, and they were coming through busy traffic. They waited at Briar, that's the street they came off of, and they went running for it. They didn't go the half block to the crosswalk. So if people aren't going to go a half a block, I don't picture pedestrians using our street as a through street going a block and a half. And so that's concerning for me. And also I have concerns if they do go that way, cars turning right off of our street, the potential for them to be hit because of the blind spot is a concern.
Thanks. And Robin, I'm sorry, we're not here to debate Roselawn right now. It's really regarding the plan.
I'm just in regards to what Trevor was saying. I don't see how that matches up and how that plan makes any sense.
Okay. Trustees, any comments, thoughts? Chris?
Trevor, what's the context? The 2017 plan did not have the force of law, right? It was recommendations, I believe, that when these streets came up for reconstruction, that at that time, those streets be considered as possible sidewalk locations, bike lanes. Is that right?
You're right. It was a plan that was recommended by the committees and then adopted by the village board. So it's not set in stone necessarily. It's everything is to be considered on a project-by-project basis.
Okay.
It was a plan highlighting the connections that made sense.
One other question on that same vein for bike lanes or bike routes. Did that happen overnight that bike lanes were painted down and no parking signs put up? Or again, is that something that's phased in as the opportunity presents itself?
It's kind of you phase it in as the opportunity presents itself. A lot of times it doesn't happen overnight. I know City of Green Bay did take a existing street and they did a road diet, Walnut, I believe, and it was a 4-lane road and they narrowed it down to 2 and put bike lanes there, and they didn't. That wasn't part of any construction project. They just did that with paint, but a lot of times you need width in the roadway for a bike lane. But every once in a while you have an opportunity like City of Green Bay did on Walnut where you can just add paint.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah. Anything else, guys? Interesting.
No, appreciate the update, though.
Yes, thank you.
And I just wanted to have, Ms. Nelson, if you want to reach out to me and email, I'm happy to discuss that further.
Did you hear that, Robin? Okay. Item number 23, future agenda items. Is there anything that a trustee would like to see on the future agenda? Okay, no more agendas. Brett?
Well, I just want to make sure that April 6th, the meeting of April 6th, is election night. We're still holding the meeting and looking at maintaining it strictly for the construction projects and discussion of sidewalks.
Okay. Thank you. Any other future agenda items? Hearing none, I will accept the motion to convene in the closed session pursuant to Wisconsin Statute 1985-1E, deliberating or negotiating the purchasing of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require in closed session.
I would make that motion.
Trustee Genrick, seconded by Trustee Atwood. Roll call. Trustee Genrick.
Yes.
Trustee Atwood, you're on mute. Trustee Atwood?
Yes.
Thank you. Trustee Sampson?
Aye.
Trustee Harris?
Aye.
Trustee Dart?
Aye.
Trustee Green?
Aye.
President Rafter, aye. And for the folks in the audience, the board is going to go into closed session. And once again, thank you very much for being here. You're more than welcome to wait in the waiting room. We'll probably be an hour, and we don't anticipate taking any votes on anything after that. But I do want to recognize Diane and Randy and Robin and Margaret for hanging in there the entire meeting. I appreciate that. Thanks, and we're going to start a frequent Village Board Visitor Club. So go and sign up. You can get some great prizes.
Get in early.
But honestly, thank you very much. We truly appreciate that. I am going to put everyone into a waiting room and pull our Village Board members out. So thank you once again. We're in close.